When you're sleeping, or he wakes you up in the middle of the night, and that song is just, "You're all I want. You're all I ever needed." Oh man, that song is the most beautiful song I think that we ever sang, and we haven't sung it in a while, have we? But he's been singing it to me every night for like 3 weeks. And I prayed, I said, "Lord, I want to hear that song." And the day he asked me to come up and speak, you played that the very first thing. So thank you for your obedience. That was beautiful. Well, typically, I get up real early on a Sunday morning to hear from the Lord. Well, I got up really early, about 3:30 in the morning, to take Julie to the ER over at Bethesda North. So, praise God, she had an IV with a bunch of, they put 4 or 5 different medicines in her, and so she's in bed right now. She had a migraine that was, she's had migraines since her 20s. She said it's the worst migraine ever that she's ever had, and so keep her in your prayers. But she was sad that she couldn't make it. But we, no, I love this. I love this. Yeah, such beautiful little girls. Give me 5. Does she give 5? No, she's more interested in the piano. You got 5? No? Okay. All right. She has that old big guy. I mean, Okay. It just meant so much to me when, you know, she was in that position. She was debilitated. She couldn't speak. And when Julie can't speak, she's sick. Y'all know that for sure, right? Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. What a precious gift they are to us. Just love them. They're worth your love. Well, you probably won't get a very long message, and you're all going, "Yes, hallelujah." But anyway, I'm just going to give you what God gave me. Usually on Sunday mornings early, he puts it all together. So guess what? He's going to have to put it all together up here, right? And so you can help me too. You know, I enjoy teaching more than preaching. So just take this like a Bible study. And if you have a comment, I would love to hear it. And feel free. Let's pray. Father, our preparation is worthless. It's your preparation that counts. And so, Lord, we know that you have a word today. Father, just give us ears to hear what you'd have to say, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, for you are worthy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to just piggyback on what the Lord spoke to us last week, just for a second, and then so this may be all over the board. So just bear with me. As I said, I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me here. So Lord spoke to us last week about our calling, right? Okay, and on Friday night, I watched a movie. It wasn't the greatest movie in the world, but it was. You know, we talked about in Bible study back in Sunday school how the Lord can speak to you in many different ways. You know, it doesn't have to be in the Word, although the Word definitely speaks to us. It doesn't have to be in prayer and we hear a voice down in our innermost being. That's good too. We love that. But sometimes he'll speak to you out of, well, you know, Balak got talked to through a donkey. So he'll use anything to get our attention. Well, we watched a movie on Friday night that kind of continues on with the message. And it was called A Dog's Purpose. Anybody seen that? Not one person? You saw it? Oh, you read the book too. I mean, it's not that it was the movie. It's just at the end, the dog said, "This is my purpose." The whole movie was how, you know, what is my purpose here? The dog himself actually narrated the movie. Okay, so he's speaking not to the human beings in the movie, but to us, the viewers. Okay, so just to kind of set the stage here. So at the end, he starts giving five things that he said, this is the purpose of a dog. And I'm like going, I had to rewind it and get my pad and paper because I thought, this is really good. And so sometimes in the natural, you get spiritual principles. And I'm going to read these to you, and I'm going to give you a little take on the spiritual side, you know. So it's called A Dog's Purpose. There were five things he realized that explain the purpose of dogs. And again, I told you I would add my thoughts. The things of the natural do declare the things of the spirit, and you'll see that here. Okay, the number one thing that a dog's determined his purpose was, what do you think it was? Anybody? Huh? Well, that's in there, but the first one was have fun. Have fun. Isn't that good for us? I mean, seriously, have fun. I mean, you know, before I, you know, Lord's been drawing me all my life, just like the song. But it wasn't until I was in my early 30s before I actually started serving the Lord. But I never thought Christians had fun. I thought it was like, they don't have fun. They're always all squinch-faced and real solemn and whatever. And I just was around the wrong Christians, right? But anyway, so the dog says, have fun, okay? And I'm going to take off on that and say, don't take yourself so seriously, okay? It's all going to pass. Whatever you're troubled with or what, it's all going to pass. It's going to go on. You know, Brother Shep would say, you know, in 50 years, 10 years, 1,000 years, is it going to matter at all? Heck no. Thank you, Klein. Okay. Laughter is a medicine. Don't you want that kind of medicine? I'd rather have that kind than what Eli Lilly puts out. Give me laughter. I mean, I don't think there's anybody here that would say they get enough laughter in their life. So let's find things that we can laugh about. And it's never at the expense of someone else, so don't even go there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? I'll be talking about joy a little bit later. Oh, what the heck, I'll talk about it now. You know, don't let something or some person rob you of your joy. Guess what? You're giving it away when you do that, and it's in the wrong way. Okay? It's not the kind of joy you're giving away that's going to be contagious for someone else to get joyful. It's going to be the joy. It's going to be, oh man, I'm just squandering it. I'm just throwing it in the garbage, basically, is what you're doing. The joy of the Lord's your strength. You want to be strong in the Lord, be joyful. It's pretty simple. And yeah, there's going to be things that come our way that we just, it'll be tough, you know, but you know what? Don't ever lose your joy. And no one can take your joy unless you give it to them. If you give it to them, guess what? They'll take it. They might not even know they're taking it, but they'll take it. I mean, it could be someone at work. It could be someone that cuts you off in traffic, whatever. It's not worth letting someone take something that the Lord himself has given you, a precious thing, like joy. So we need to be joyful. Okay, number two, whenever possible, and this is in the movie, folks, I'm telling you, I was blown away. Whenever possible, find someone to save and save them. Okay? That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, it's coming out of, and it was not, to my knowledge, it wasn't a Christian movie because I didn't see, you know, anybody mentioned the Lord or what, but it still was a spiritual movie in the sense that this dog got a revelation of Jesus. But anyway, so whenever possible, find someone to save and save them. I said, be a good witness to all those you come in contact with. And we were talking earlier in Bible study, you know, being a good witness doesn't necessarily mean you're opening your mouth. Everything you do is a witness. Everything, everything you do outside of the doors, even in your house, is a witness. So if you're going to be a witness, realize that everything, people are watching you, and they see how you react to different things. And if you react joyfully, they're going to say, wow, I want some of that, because that's not the way I respond to things. Pray for people and encourage them. Be an encourager. We got encouragers in this body. Be an encourager. Encourage people. Look for opportunities to encourage people. Look for opportunities to pray for them. And it doesn't have to be laying hands on them. Oh, Lord, you know, it can just be under your breath and you're just praying. I've prayed for so many people where I've never even audibly made a sound. Okay? And you do too. Okay. Third, lick the ones you love. I was going to say, if you don't laugh at that, you're not listening. Lick the ones you love. Can't you picture a dog saying that? Come on. Lick the ones you love. I could turn around and say, I don't know, this is probably not the way he meant Stephen Stills the song, but I say, love the one you're with. You know, whoever you're with, love them. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So whoever you're with, it doesn't matter. Love them. What if they're unlovely? What if they're just a pain in the royal you-know-what? Love them anyway. Love them anyway. People will let you down, but love them anyway. Don't get offended so easily and realize, well, let me just stop there. Don't get offended so easily. Man, or do we live in a society that's just waiting for an offense to take place so that they can say, I'm offended? I mean, think about it. I don't watch the news anymore. I can't stand watching the news. I don't watch it. I want the good news. I don't want the news that you get on CNN and ABC and Fox News and whatever. I don't want that news. I don't watch that news. I want the good news. If I got time to watch the news, I'd rather get into the good news. Yes. That's just my preference. Okay, number four. I like this. Can you picture this coming from a dog? Don't get sad-faced about things that happen and scrunchy-faced about what could happen. Okay. I like this. Don't get sad-faced about things that have happened in your life and scrunchy-faced about, oh, wow, well, this could happen or that could happen or, oh, my gosh, what if this happens? Get it out of your mind. Don't get offended so easily and realize that those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. I will trust the Lord when I'm afraid. I will trust the Lord who cares for me. I mean, come on, all these things, there's no reason to fret. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to get upset. There's no reason to get angry. There's no reason to allow all these emotions to control us. Let God control us. He's the Lord. He's the controller. That's what the Lord means, controller. Let him control it. Man, it takes it all the burdens off of you, man. That makes it an easy life. Lord, you're going to do it all. You're going to do it all. I'm not going to let any of this emotional stuff this emotional roller coaster. 1 minute you're down, next minute you're up, then you're down, then you know, wow, that takes a lot of energy, folks. I will trust in the Lord and not my understanding. Don't let your mind get in the way. I will trust in the Lord and be joyful, like we said earlier. You know, can't you sometimes read a person's face and tell you if they're sad, angry, joyful, whatever? Just have a joyful look about yourself no matter what happens. I know it's tough. Trust me, I've not perfected it yet, but only God can perfect it in us. And when he does, it's going to be wonderful to never have these emotions, these negative emotions. Okay, finally, number five, be here now. I thought that was interesting. The dog is saying, be here now. Be here now. The dog's saying that. I'm thinking, that's a wonderful spiritual principle right there. Be here now. Now is all that matters, folks. I'm telling you. What happened last week? What happened 50 years ago? I can say that with this group because we're all, most of us. But don't sit there and live in the past. The past needs to pass. Let it go. Let it go. Today is the only thing that matters. You can't do anything about the past unless you've offended someone. You can go and apologize and you can go ask for forgiveness. That's about all you can do with the past. We've made mistakes and we can go and all we can do is ask. They do it. If they let it go, then that's great. If they don't let it go, the slate's cleaned with you. You don't have anything to continue dealing with. Lord gave me this. It says, it's the word present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T. There's three words of present. Two of them have, I'll just read it. The present is a present. So present yourselves each day to God and others with your best. Is that too much to ask? It's difficult sometimes. You wake up, you're not in the mood. But if we can present ourselves to the Lord, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And be here now, thank him now. Thank him right. You get out of bed and thank him. I try to remember to thank him before my feet even hit the ground every day. Because you know what? You woke up. You woke up. That's worth thanking him, don't you think? So thank him. Okay. That doesn't mean we shouldn't learn from the past. We should definitely learn from the past. But we have today, and we need to make the most of it. I'm going to talk just a second about Tyler's graduation with the Air Force. And the reason I'm going to talk about that, because it's a segue into the actual message the Lord gave me. We went down to see Tyler's graduation, and I know Taylor's going through all this now, so we just went through it all, and it's great, and she'll be fine, and she'll get through it, but it's tough. It really is, especially for, I'm sure, mothers and spouses. But anyway, we go down to San Antonio, and the first time you see the airmen are men and women, by the way. There's no such thing as air women. It's airmen, and that includes women. That's their way of doing business. So, but anyway, the first time you see your loved one, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. They in unison, they run, chanting, and you get to pick them out as they run by you, and it's powerful. That's the first time you see them in 8 weeks. You've only talked to them on the phone twice. And except for the one time they call and say, I'm here. That's all they're allowed to say, basically. I'm here. I'm safe. Don't write me. You can write me, but don't call me or text me or whatever. So that was powerful. And but the most powerful thing was Sunday morning we went to church. Oh my gosh. And what I'm about to say, please don't take it wrong, but we went, there's two chapels, and we went to the wrong one. And it was a denomination that, I won't say what it was, but it was very, you know, very quiet, okay? And I went back in the back, and I said, is this the non-denomination service? And they said, no, that's next door. Now, get this. This is just, I mean, I just was weeping so much. We walked down the hallway, and I can hear this praise and worship that sounded like it was from the throne room of God. It was so beautiful. And the praise and worship band and the leader and what, it was just so beautiful. We walk in, and they had already started the services, and I saw hundreds of airmen in their fatigues, with their hands in the air, rocking back and forth. I'm telling you, folks, the kids that I met down there, our military is in good shape. Let me tell you, it is in good shape. I met some top-notch quality kids down there that I'm just amazed that they, you know, that there's that many people that want to get into the military, and I love it. I was really warmed my heart to see it. But that praise and worship, there was this young Latino guy right in front of me that was just, it was his first week there, and he was just crying the whole service. He you could just see him. He was, the Spirit of the Lord was all over him, and Lord gave me a word for him that he gave Joshua, and I told him, I said, this is a word for you. I said, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you, and everything's going to be okay. God's in control, and he's got a wonderful plan ahead for you. And he thanked me, and I'll never see him again unless, you know, somewhere in heaven. But you could tell he was like homesick, and he was, you know, the first 2 weeks at church, he just bawled the whole time, you know, away from home, away from family, loved ones, and all that. But it was just a wonderful thing. And that segues into when he did get a little bit of a leave. We went down to San Antonio, if you've all been there. And this is where I got the name for the message today. It was like we hit a button to cross the street. And it's not like this in Cincinnati. It might be like this in other big cities. But I was amazed because we hit the button, and all we heard was, wait, 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 wait. And then all of a sudden, it went on even longer than that, and it was annoying as I am right now. And then it said, walk. And the Lord just spoke to me right there that, many, many, many times, like we even sang today, that we need to wait on the Lord before we walk sometimes. You know, that it's good to walk, but sometimes we tend to get out in front of the Lord. You know, and so sometimes we just need to wait. So that's kind of the topic. I held a testimony, brother, for today. 2 weeks ago, we had someone call the radio program. Her name was Sandra. Just a blessing, just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And we asked for anybody to call in that needed prayer. Well, she needed prayer. She asked for she had three prayers that she wanted us to pray for. Three prayers. And she said, the first prayer is, I would like to see some healing in my body. It's racked with pain. And, you know, I'm just in pain constantly. The second prayer was, you know, ask the Lord to give me money so that I can move out of the situation I'm in. She was not in a situation that she wanted to be in. Where she was... or is, very, very noisy, unsafe. She felt unsafe, but very noisy. She said, "I can't sleep at night, just very noisy." The third one was my daughter. My daughter and I have been estranged for months now, months. I miss her, and I would really love to get back together with my daughter. So we prayed, and we asked the Lord to touch her body. We asked the Lord to provide the resources that she needs to be able to move. And then thirdly, that God would reconcile her relationship to her daughter. A week later, she calls in, and you could tell she was pretty excited. And she had a testimony that was just awesome, just awesome. And the first thing she said was, "God touched my body. God touched my body. The pain's not completely gone, but it's bearable. I can get around now, and I know he touched my body, and I feel much, much better." That would have been great if it stopped there. She comes back and says, "He didn't provide the resources for me to move, but I have not slept this well in a long, long time." Now you can sit there and say, well, God did answer that prayer too. Because the whole purpose and reason for her to want to move was so she could sleep. Because it was just so noisy in the hallways and people downstairs and upstairs and whatever. So God even touched that need. And I mean, who's to say that he may provide her with the resources to find a better place too? I mean, that remains to be seen. But this next one, wow. She woke up, this was on a Wednesday, she woke up the next day on a Thursday morning. It's her daughter. Her daughter was knocking on her door and said, "Mom, I want us to have a relationship again." And she came in, had a cup of coffee, and they talked most of the morning. And Sandra said, asked her if she would like to go to church with her on Sunday. And her daughter hadn't been to church in, I don't know, long time, maybe even years, I don't know. But so Sandra and her daughter went to church last Sunday. Now, that's all awesome, but what happens when nothing happens? What happens? When you get ready, Margaret, I'd like for you to cue that up. I'll keep talking because I know you're going to have to do a couple things. You know, you may be sitting there saying, well, you know, I've got prayers that I've been praying a long time, and I haven't even gotten even an inkling of God moving in that, okay? Prayers are answered in different ways. Look at Sandra. You know, sometimes your prayers are answered, but they're not answered the way you want them to be answered, and so you wonder, why didn't my prayers get answered? Well, they did get answered. Sandra's sleeping now. Okay, she's sleeping. That was the number one reason she wanted to leave. There's other reasons too, but the number one, I mean, go without sleep, folks. You've all done it, I'm sure. I'm sure there's times you've had insomnia or that you've had trouble. That is rough. That is rough. And she hadn't slept a good night for a long, long time. Just tell me when you're ready, Margaret.
Lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see.
It's not in sync.
Don't go down. tomorrow brings. It's not a day that you have not seen. Suffering all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
Margaret a hand. I'll tell you, let me tell you why you're giving her a hand. I pulled this up on YouTube and we could not get the audio to go with the video. So I handed her a CD and said, okay, play the audio and then play the YouTube video. I know it won't be in sync, but I just, the words are so powerful. I just wanted you to see the words. And it didn't start off right, but she caught up with it. Didn't she? Thank you, Margaret. Great job. Thank you. Thank you so much. Those who wait upon the Lord. What? What else? They mount up with wings as an eagle. Run and not weary. Walk and not faint. What a wonderful scripture. That's like kind of the Wings theme scripture, you know. But it's so appropriate for all occasions, isn't it? I mean, seriously, waiting upon the Lord is a... It's almost like we don't want to pray for patience because we know that we're going to have tribulation, right? It says, tribulation produces patience, right? So we don't want to pray for, and then we don't want to wait on the Lord. Well, waiting is not like sitting in a waiting room at the doctor's office. I had a doctor one time, I think he never turned anybody away because if you got in to see him within 2.5 hours, you were lucky. You were very lucky. Back to the joy. Sometimes when we're waiting, we lose our joy because we want it now. We want it like Sandra got it, right? We want it now. We want that instant gratification. And you know what? Some of you have been serving the Lord for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, and we all know that there's times when God moves quickly and there's times when he doesn't. But his timing, like Oscar said in the prayer, is perfect. He's an on-time God. He's a perfect timing God. So the waiting is trusting. Trusting. Trust him that he knows what he's doing. He created it all. He created those little babies. He created you. He created it all. So I think he can handle, you know, he says, I will supply all your need according to your riches and glory. So if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. But it may not be today or tomorrow or even next week. So just keep trusting him that he knows what he's doing, and don't let the waiting steal your peace and your joy. Remain in peace. He is the Prince of Peace, so remain in peace. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in his presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. Don't you want the fullness of joy? Not just a piece of joy, not just 50% joy. You want 100% joy. And you say, well, but you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, I don't. But I guarantee you, if you make the decision today to choose joy and peace over frustration and anger and bitterness and all those, all the poison things out there, you know, if you can just do that, I assure you that you're going to love your life a lot better. We've all talked about this scripture a million times, but I don't know if I've ever heard anybody read it out of the Mirror Bible. But in the J.B. Phillips, where he says, you know, don't look upon trials as enemies, but look upon them as friends. Friends? What? Trials? Friends? Sorry, that's a tough one. Well, let's hear what the Mirror Bible says. Temptations and contradictions come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. Their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. However, my brothers, your joy in who you know you are leads you triumphantly every time. Not most of the time. Every time. Here is the secret. Okay, you want to know the secret? Joy is not something you have to fake. It is the fruit of what your faith knows to be true about you. You know that the proof of your faith results in persuasion that remains constant in contradiction. Steadfastness provides you with a consistent environment, so patience prevails. There's your patience. Improves your perfection. How entirely whole you are and without any shortfall. Okay, we're just going to take a second here and look at Paul. I'll just read a little bit here. Paul and Saul, I wondered, you know, with Jacob, you know, he became Israel, and there's other examples. And with Saul and Paul, I never really knew when he became Paul. Well, he was always Paul. He said, I will be to everybody what I need to be. So to the Hebrews, he was Saul. To the Gentiles, he was Paul. He's not mentioned as Paul until way down in the, I forget what chapter it is. I don't have it written down, but it says, then Saul, who also is called Paul. So he was called Paul throughout. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Paul was all things to all people. That's what he wants us to be. I'll just stay on this for a second. You remember King Saul? Okay, so you have two Sauls. King Saul never turned into a Paul. Okay, right? The word Saul means desired. And as you know, King Saul desired himself. And the word Paul means little or small. King Saul started out humble because the Lord said, when you started out, Samuel told him that the Lord speaking, you know, on behalf of the Lord, when you started out in this, you were nothing. Talking to Saul, King Saul. And you knew it. Wow. Then God put you at the head of Israel and made you over Israel. The power went to Saul's head, right? That's what happened. Well, with Paul, it was the opposite. Paul was from this great family of it wasn't Sadducees, Pharisees. Yeah, he was a Benjamite, son of the right hand. He was pretty proud of himself because he, you know, he had a long history of leadership in the Jewish, it wasn't church, but, you know, in the Jewish religion. And then guess what? He hits the road to Damascus and things started happening and Paul got humbled. Paul got humbled. So you had Saul and Paul. Anyway, but Saul still breathing murderous threats. Paul, before he did, I don't know if you knew this, but Paul, before he went to Damascus, was getting the permission to basically imprison Christians or maybe even kill them. I mean, he was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and Stephen basically was looking at the Lord and the heavens opened up. And what a beautiful sight that must have been. But he said, do not hold this sin against them to their charge. So he saw that. So, you know, we were singing the song, Draw Me, Lord. Guess what? The Lord was drawing him that moment. And there were other times, I'm sure when he saw Christians gladly lay down their lives like Stephen did, he's probably going, wow, this is crazy stuff. But on his journey, as he neared Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly blazed around him and he fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice speaking to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, our typical understanding of the word persecution is harass, annoy someone persistently. But if you go to the Strong's, it says run away or flee. You know, maybe, we don't know, it doesn't say, but maybe God had been drawing him and Saul knew it. And he just did like some of us may have done at one time or another. We ran away. Maybe he looked at it and said, ooh, man, here I'm out there putting them in prison and killing them. Am I willing to go pay that price? I don't know, but God will get your attention the way it's going to need to be gotten one way or the other. And in Paul's case, it was a big bright light and it was Jesus Christ speaking to him audibly. Wow. So Paul was running away from God. However, that didn't stop God. You know, God, he will never leave you or forsake you. And he never left Paul. He never forsook Paul. He said, who are you, Lord? And that word Lord is controller. He knew he wasn't in control at that time. He was not in control at all. Some other force was in control and it was Jesus Christ. So he goes on and says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now stand up, go to the city where you'll be told what you must do. His companions on the journey stood there speechless, for they had heard the voice. Wow. Didn't say whatever happened to them after they got him to Damascus, but I bet you it wasn't long before they came along into the way, like they used to say it back then. So Paul didn't, he was sightless. He tried to open his eyes, could not open them. He remained sightless for 3 days. And there was no excuse or no accident for the 3 days. And during that time, he had nothing to eat or drink. Think about that for a second. What happened? What do you think happened in those 3 days? We don't know. But it could have been this. The Bible doesn't say if the Lord told Paul that he was going to restore his physical sight. Paul, you know, maybe the Lord told him, but we don't know. I mean, can you imagine having sight all the way up to a certain point and then boom, it's gone? I mean, can you imagine right now here in your life that your sight goes? I mean, out of the five senses, that would be the last sense that I would like to see gone. So, okay. So what happened? Did the Lord take him to school, or did he sit in total solitude and darkness for 3 days? Could have gone either way. I don't know. Doesn't say. But because it's hard to say. I was going to say, well, I think the Lord, you know, just basically gave him a crash course on, you know, Jesus and what he was going to be doing. I don't know. He could have, maybe, I mean, it just depends. Maybe Paul needed that complete darkness and silence for 3 days. I don't know. You can draw your own conclusions on that. Either way, we need to keep the right attitude, and I think Paul did. And all of a sudden now we have Ananias show up. Ananias means whom Jehovah has graciously given. Think about Ananias. Ananias said, Lord, this is the guy that's taking people out, you know, whether it be prison or death. And you want me to go to his house and lay hands on him? Thank you, Ananias, for your obedience. Would God have raised someone up if Ananias said no? Yes. But thank you for that. It's a good witness to see someone that had so much at risk be obedient and do exactly what. And he went to a place called the Straight Street. And that wasn't by accident. Because Ananias went straight away right to Paul's house on Straight Street. He did not, it doesn't show that he hesitated. He didn't question God. He didn't say, well, Lord, can you send someone else? He didn't say anything. He went straight away right down to Straight Street and laid hands on Paul. So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the master sent me, the same Jesus you saw on your way here. He sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, needless to say, the things that Paul saw, you know, we have the spiritual senses and the natural senses. He saw, I think, at that time, if he hadn't seen it before then, he saw it then. His spiritual sight was opened up, but also God was gracious enough to heal his natural sight. No sooner than the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell off Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat with them to a hearty meal. Paul had to listen. He had to believe. He had to wait, and then he could walk. And boy, did he walk. I mean, here's a man that we said was little in his own eyes, other than as opposed to Saul, who was big in his own eyes. And he sat there and ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. And he said, I am the least of all the apostles. I'm the least. I'm nothing compared to John and Peter and some of these other guys. Okay, the name, we just went through all that. So let me get kind of finish up here by this. I'm going to read Colossians 3:1-4. What does it have to do with anything I've said so far? I don't know, but the Lord gave it to me, so we're going to read it. It's beautiful, I can tell you that. Colossians 3:4. Okay. Okay, Colossians 3:1-4. It says, see yourselves co-raised with Christ. Now ponder the persuasion, the consequence of your co-inclusion in him. We were talking back in Sunday school. Christ in you. You're in Christ. Wow, what a winning combination that is. Relocate yourselves mentally. We're talking about up here. Engage your thoughts. Oh, this is great. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities. Man, don't you want throne room realities? I mean, that is what I know we all want. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. You're there. It's not a somewhere off in the sweet by and by. It's right now. Becoming affectionately acquainted with the throne room thoughts. You know, we talk about the mind of Christ. That's the throne room thoughts. Will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly. Your union with his death broke the association with that world. You're not part of that world anymore. That world's gone. See yourselves located in a fortress where your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then a side note, occupy your mind with this new order of life. You died when Jesus died. Whatever defined you before defines you no more. Christ, in whom the fullness of deity dwells, defines you now. Risen then with Christ, you must lift your thoughts above where Christ now sits at the right hand of God. You must be heavenly minded, not earthly minded, and you have undergone death. And your life is hidden away now with Christ in God. Christ is your life. When he is made manifest, you are made manifest in his glory. The exact life on exhibit in Christ is now repeated in us. Now. Not in the sweet by and by, but right now. We are being co-revealed in the same bliss. We are joined in oneness with him, just as his life reveals you, your life reveals him. Every time Christ is revealed, we are being co-revealed in his glory. In him we live and move and have our being. In us, he lives and moves and has his being. One more scripture. This is somewhere I read this, and I thought it was really good. You know, you hear of idol worship. It's all through the Old Testament, whatever. Idol worship is worshiping a distorted image of yourself. So let's not do it. We know who we are in Christ, right? Okay, Colossians 1, 21. Okay. You're... indifferent mindset alienated you from God in the lifestyle of annoyances, hardships, and labors. We don't have any of that, I'm sure. Yet he is now fully reconciled and restored you to your original design. That's what the word reconciliation means, back to its original design. He accomplished this in dying our death in a human body. He fully represented us in order to fully present us again in blameless innocence, face to face with God. Blameless innocence. If you're innocent, you're innocent. So there is no guilt and there is no cause for you to carry it around. So get rid of it. Fully present us again in blameless innocence face to face with God. No sense of guilt, suspicion, regret, or accusation. All charges against us are officially canceled. To not even be brought up ever again. It's gone. It's gone. There's no ledger sheet that shows anything you did that did not measure up. This is why no form of suffering can interfere with my joy. Back to the joy. So whatever you're going through, don't let it take your joy. Every suffering on your behalf is just another opportunity to reinforce that which might still be lacking in your understanding of the affliction of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. When life doesn't go your way and you're looking for an answer and it isn't coming, don't ask when, W-H-E-N. Declare the victory, or declare the win, W-I-N. You know, he never fails. So guess what? If he never fails, he must win all the time. Right? So we win all the time. Because if he doesn't fail, we don't fail. We win. So when you think of, when you're saying, when, Lord, when's this going to happen? When's that going to, no, just declare the win, W-I-N, and thank him for the win. Thank him for the win. I'm going to read this poem, and then we're done. And one of the reasons I'm reading this poem is we have this big, gigantic oak tree in our front yard. I mean, this thing is, if it ever goes down, I hope it goes that way. Because if it goes this way, we're in big trouble. But anyway, it's dropping acorns like crazy. I mean, the deer are having a feast. I mean, we saw as many as 7 one time. They're there every morning and every evening, and they love those acorns. I mean, they just love them. So this is the, we talked about the a dog's purpose. Now we're going to talk about an acorn's destiny. As I look at the horizon, I see the old oak tree, so stable and so tall, so peaceful and so free. It is a haven of rest for the birds as they sing. It is the home that welcomes the birds on the wing. An acorn fell from a tree one day and landed on the ground. The wind blew the dirt, which buried it, and it grew without a sound. The rain and sunshine nourished it, and we see a mystery. The tree came out of the acorn. How can this thing be? It is the law of growth in the acorn, for God designed it so. The acorn shell begins to break, and the tree begins to grow. What is the lesson of this story? What does it speak to my mind? God designed a way for the tree to reproduce after its kind. We reproduce after Jesus. Can I compare myself to the acorn? For there is something growing in me. I received Christ's seed many years ago, and his life is setting me free. This process was redemptive right from the start. For he is restoring my soul as he transforms my heart. And what shall the finished work be? Like the tree coming out of the acorn, Christ can come out of me. And this process takes place in every man. God will move forward and fulfill his plan. And as mankind experiences a great rebirth, God's righteous judgment shall fill the earth. Hallelujah. And as all people recover from the fall, the glory of God will be seen in all. There will be peace on the mountains, on the land and the sea, and all nations will find rest and have no enemy. And as that majestic oak tree on the horizon stands so free and tall, God's glory shall fill the entire earth, and he shall be all in all. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs prayer, please come up. If you know of anybody, if you want to stand in proxy for someone, we'll pray with you. God bless you.